Yeah, good morning. It's a blessed day, another day that the Lord our God has made.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we're in the communion class, and we're going to start this one in chapter 19, finally.
John.
St. John, chapter 19. Now, Pilate didn't know what to do with Jesus. Verse 19 says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe." You know, I just realized that Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, and I guess John left that out. And but Pilate did all he knew to do. But he didn't have the courage to stand for Jesus. He let them scourge him. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Now this is the heart. This is what cold religion is still doing against the church. Cold religion is still against Christ. It's against your healing. Well, they make excuses for why you don't get healed, or why you don't go forward, or why you have poverty problems. They say God don't want you to have, as if God is mean. Cold religion always presents God wrong.
Always present him wrong. Amen. That is so true.
So now they're saying he is a king. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. These are the same people that passed him in the byways. These are the same people who heard about him. Uh-huh. And he went around doing good, harming nobody, building people up, healing the sick. The lame were walking. Mm-hmm. The blind could see. The deaf could hear. He taught people the principles of God, and they didn't want it.
Jesus.
And this is, also no different than how the false prophets become, and that Peter gave a reference to in 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude. The same spirit, same actions. They make merchandise out of God's people and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Mm-hmm. And they're mocking him.
Jesus.
"Now Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.
Amen.
Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify." Now Pilate thought that they were going to stop right there. This is cold religion. Crucify him. You get healed off a deathbed. The people that love this world, they're going to get angry. They won't like it. Some people will go get drunk before they recognize what God has done. This is how far people can fall in the world system. But these were not party going sinners. This was not just people who go get drunk and carouse around with women. These were the religious leaders. Crucify him. Mm-hmm. They want nothing to do with God. Mm. And they made big their phylacteries. I didn't know what a phylactery was till little Jim told me. He's in his message, he said they take scriptures and put it in cloth and sew it up and put it on the end of their garments. Now they saying they love God, but now they're saying crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." He allowed them to do their will, but he admitted he found no fault in that. If you find no fault in him, how can you send somebody to be murdered and not punish the people who was murdering?
One of the reasons he found out that he was a Roman citizen,
mm-hmm.
and he had the right to go
another. That was Paul. That was Paul. This is Jesus.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now Pilate's saying he allowed them to crucify.
Mm-hmm.
And but with Rome taking over Jerusalem, wouldn't Jesus be a Roman citizen?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. The deal is, you know, supposedly Rome kind of helped.
Rome what?
Rome was like over everyone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And so when he said, take him yourselves and crucify him, he was really giving them a lot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was giving them a lot of leeway to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is no small thing that he would say that, because typically if someone was killing somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Romans would come descend on them and see what's, you know, hey, what's going on here? You
yeah.
know, this
yeah.
is outroar, this is, you know, you're doing something outside, you know, our law.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna investigate it.
Yeah.
But he's actually giving them carte blanche, because he's saying you can go and kill him yourself, and I won't interfere.
Yeah.
You
but
know?
Wasn't that a higher court he was sending him to? And he was doing that because he wanted to release him from his hand. He didn't want to have his hands in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He just passing him on to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
To a higher court.
Yeah.
He wanted the guilt to be on them.
And not him.
And not him. Because
yeah.
he said, I don't find any fault with him, so
yeah.
I'm not going to...
And he even washed his hands.
Said, you do it, and uh-huh. the guilt's going to be on you. You're right.
Uh-huh.
And so he washed his hands. He said, I'm not going to have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm. He said, I find no fault in him.
Yeah. But he...
At least he had the courage to do that. And hopefully, you know, his wife said, don't have anything to do against that just man. And he listened to that point. And I, you know... But Jesus came to die. He knew, Jesus knew the condition of the hearts of men all along. When they cried Hosanna a week before, he knew. And you know, and the Lord know. I can, when the Lord give you messages and words for people, things like that, you can tell he considers all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he give you what to do. And and he knows what people are in their heart. And I noticed that about the Lord. He'll warn you. Sometimes he'll say, be bold, or sometimes he'll give me certain instructions what to do. And it's because of things like he's trying to work with people. But, you know, some people, not us, but some people harden their heart. And the Lord, he can't ignore it. Some people have hardened their heart, but they still... they still preach or whatever they're doing, but God knows.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they didn't fully know, because Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were deceived by Satan and their pride, and blinded by their pride.
They didn't know, because he didn't come the way a king,
mm-hmm.
like they expected a king to come.
Yeah.
They expected him to come, be under their leadership, and come with great wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
They were just expecting him a different
way. A different way.
And he didn't meet up to their standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rejected him.
Yeah. And everybody of God, they come the way of love. You know, everybody God, you know, most of the people God called, they felt like Jeremiah. Lord, I'm the least of the tribe. I'm just a child. The Lord says, say not that you're a child. And then he told him, well, you're going to tear down kingdoms and build up kingdoms and throw them down.
but, you know, if they had to listen through the Old Testament, they were versed in the Old Testament.
Now, yeah.
These were leaders. Mm-hmm. All the miracles that he done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Old Testament talked about him,
mm-hmm.
in a way, if they had to just discern.
Mm-hmm.
What the Old Testament said.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't like him. He just didn't. I mean, mm-hmm. they couldn't even take time to think about what the Old Testament said about him. You know, they would have grabsily accepted him. Even the Old Testament told him how he was going to die. I mean, everything.
But they couldn't say.
Well, Jesus told his disciples over and over again what was going to happen to them, and they were ignorant of it. He flat out told them several times, I am going to be crucified. I'm going to die. You know? And it's like, whoa, surprise.
They didn't want to lose what they had. They had a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the trouble they got in, he got them out.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't discern it, even though he was telling them, just like Jesus tells us directly things from the Word, and sometimes we
don't
discern it.
We just don't.
That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. Like Thurston does.
He's going to do his work and get us to understand what Jesus is trying.
We might not receive it right then, but God will reveal it.
You're so right, because on the day of Pentecost, those boys was totally different.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost was telling them, you know. They didn't even mention nothing too much about Jesus anymore. You know, it was all Holy. The Holy Ghost said, and this and that. And they were doing miracles. They were standing boldly. They were just changed men.
Yeah.
That
shows you when the Lord would give you things to do, send you places. And he don't tell you all the details, but he always has a plan. Always seeking for the rest of the plan. When you get to one portion of it, and everything seems to stall, just say, ask him what's next. Communion. This is the power of communion. He had a plan all along, and he revealed it. Let's see. We stopped around verse 7. The plan was the Holy Spirit that would guide him in all truth. So when everything seemed stalled, you don't know what to do, he got a plan.
That's true, because he told him, you are so right, Apostle. He told him, he said, you don't understand nothing right now, but.
You will.
I mean, he didn't get word. He didn't get all bent out of shape on him. He just said, well, I'm telling you, and when the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you again, and then you're going to understand it. You're going to be able to reveal it to you.
He led him through the wilderness and fed him manna. He had a plan. He wanted water, you got water. You want meat, you got meat. Whatever. He's always got provision. And that's the power of communion. You don't have to worry about anything. That's it. Lord, Holy Spirit, what's your plan on this? He'll reveal it.
That's the power of communion.
All right, 1 Corinthians, we'll pick up at verse 7 next week. 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What we just read today, when they scourged him, these were the stripes that he took on his body to provide us with healing. And he laid his life down. He knew what men would do. The Father knew, and the Father guided Jesus, and he said everything. He did it on purpose. He did it with dedication. So when I don't feel good, if I'm sick, I pursue my healing with dedication, just like he did to give me healing in the first place. When I stall out and can't go any further and don't know what to do next, I consider what he went through, and I pursue it.
I heard Ken say something. I read it and also heard him say it. He's 81 years old, and because God was dealing with him about his body, he's always kind of taking care of his last few years. He said he feels better and is the best health he's been all his life. He's 81 years old.
Who is?
Kim Copeland.
Wow. That's awesome.
But he did have to fight.
Yeah.
And he had to do what God told him to do about it. God told him, he says, you do everything spiritually, I want you to. And your soul is fine. You're great. But you're not doing what you need to do for your body. Because God don't want to take these generals out early. Or, you know, he wants them to keep going and as long as they're supposed to. Because he's prepared them all these years.
We need them here.
We need them here.
Amen.
Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Every time I take communion, I think of victory. We have victory. We have scripture. We have basis for what we believe. Thank you, Lord. And when we speak to our mountains, they have to move. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless us today. Just like you did last week. Bless every speaker, everything said to be Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.